Good morning, church. Always good to be with God's people, amen.
Amen.
We've been preaching on the subject of precious things. Peter, in his two epistles, on six separate occasions, speaks of precious things. Trials are precious. They're difficult, but they're precious. This morning, I want you to go to chapter 2 of 1 Peter. And from the 4th verse to the 7th verse, three times the word precious is used. Verse 4 says, "Who coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Our cornerstone is precious. Amen?
Amen.
In verse number 7, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Jesus is precious. This morning we're going to look at our Savior, who is precious. The word precious means three things. We've said this before, but let me just reiterate it. It means three things, that word precious, in its original language. Number one, it means of highest value. Of highest value. Secondly, it means to esteem in the highest manner. And then thirdly, it means dear beyond price. Amen? So of highest value, to esteem in the highest manner, dear beyond price. And let me suggest to you that Christ fulfills all three. He came out of the ivory palaces, down the stairway of eternity into time. Think who came. He came from heaven to earth. The Son of God condescended, and what a stoop that was. To come down and live, take upon flesh, become a man, the God-man. That was a condescension of unbelievable price. He, the Prince of Heaven, the second person of the Trinity, he came. It's him who is of highest value. He came to save from sin those who could not do a thing for themselves. And we love him for it, amen? He gave all that we may receive all. Think of that. He gave all that we may receive all, so that we might esteem him in the highest manner. He's of the highest value. We esteem him in the highest manner. He lives in us, all God's people said, and works in us and for us. He gives to us. He protects us. He cares for us. He loves us, he walks with us, talks with us, and each day he grows sweeter than he was the day before. dearer, we could say. He is dearer. Or he is dear beyond price. All three things point to Christ. He's distinctly precious because he is of the highest value. He's distinctly precious because we esteem him or should esteem him in the highest manner. He's distinctly precious because he's dear beyond price, all God's people said. But our verse says this, unto you therefore which believe, and here's the three words that are important for this first point, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Those three words tell us something about God. About the person of God, the second person of the Trinity. It tells us he is precious, and write this down, he is precious in and of himself. You may not think he is, and that matters not, he is still precious. The world may think something different, but that does not matter. He is still precious, intrinsically so. He is in and of himself precious. Jesus has value. The greatest, highest value that can be seen and found is in Christ. No one else and nothing else rises to that height. He is precious. In Hebrews 7 and verse 26, we're told, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He's precious. Jesus is precious in and of himself. One writer said this, there is an intrinsic value and excellency in Christ that excels all other values. Let me say that again. One writer wrote, there is an intrinsic value and excellency in Christ that excels all others. I believe his person was different. Amen? He was the one and only God. He was the one and only God-man. He was very God, as much God as the Father is God. He was very man, as much man as any man, yet without sin. He knew no sin. When he left heaven, he came as God. When he arrived on earth, he was born of a virgin. He took on flesh. The Word became flesh and tabernacled. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 14, tabernacled or tented among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was distinctly different. He was precious. His person was precious. His speech was precious. It was different. Amen? Never a man spake, the Bible says, as this man spake. He never uttered a wrong word. He never spoke uselessly. He never spoke out of turn. He never told a lie. He was never irreverent. His was a mouth that formed the purest of speech. He never spoke with hostility or hatred, but with care, compassion, love. He was never in error. He always spoke the truth, and whenever he spoke or wherever he spoke, thousands upon thousands upon thousands came to hear him. His speech was precious. It was different. His actions and attitude was different. Amen? The Bible says he doeth all things well. He did things right and in the right way. He did that which was always in the direction of others. He could deal with difficulty with the right information, the right action, the right advice, and in the right way. He was the consummate friend, consummate confidant, consummate companion, consummate counselor, and consummate servant. His action and attitude was different. His character was different. Amen? Amen? When I think of his character, I think of his compassion. We are told on 13 different occasions. 13. Of Christ's compassion in the Gospels. He was moved with compassion. In Mark 9, verse 21, and he asked his father, "How long is it since your son was in this way?" And he said, of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." This father was distraught. His son was demon-possessed. His disciples could do nothing to help him. He was at his wit's end. His hope had turned to hopelessness. And he turned to Christ for help. Where else do you go? Where else do you go? When you need help, where do you go? Only Christ. Only Christ. When your hopes are on the rocks and they're dashed in pieces and it seems as if nothing will work and that hope is lost, you can go to Christ. Martha ran to Jesus and said, "If you would have been here, if you only would have been here, he would still be alive." She was speaking of Lazarus. She said, "He's dead, and he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus looked down and put his arm on her and said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" He walked to that place of burial. The people couldn't believe he was there. He bowed his head and wept. Then looking at that tomb, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Someone asked me one time, why did he say Lazarus? Because if he would have said, "Just come forth," everybody would have come out of the grave. They all would have come out. And Lazarus came out of there. When I think of his character, I think of his compassion. When I think of his character, I think of his selflessness. Everything Jesus did, he did in the stead of others. The songwriter wrote, "Others, Lord, yes, others." Let this my motto be, Lord, Help me to live for others that I might live like thee. I think his selflessness was spelled out in that one word, others. When you see Jesus, wherever he is, whatever he is doing, wherever he was, whatever he did, it was always in the stead of someone else. Others. Whether it was instruction or caring, it was for others. He touched a coffin and healed the dead. Others. He comforted the hurting and loved the unlovely. Others. He fed at one time 5,000, then 4,000, both with just small lunches. And his thoughts were on those who had not eaten. It was on others. He endured harshness, lies, ridicule, heartache. Ultimately, he was tried, convicted, beaten, mocked, and crucified selflessly, all in the stead of others. He went to the cross for others. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. He died for others. He did not do it for himself. He did it for others. When I think of his character, I think of his compassion. When I think of his character, I think of his selflessness. When I think of his character, I think of his loveliness. He was and is and always will be the altogether lovely one. Do you know anybody more lovely than Jesus? Do you know anybody more loving than Jesus? His was a beautiful life. He had a perfect heart, a perfect love, a perfect demeanor, a perfect disposition. He is lovely, the loveliest of all. Is there any more lovely than Christ? No, not one. Not one. When we read that little verse, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. That's a big word. It has deep meaning. It speaks to the heart. It awakens us to the goodness and greatness of Jesus Christ. He is precious. Secondly, our verse says this, unto you therefore which believe. Unto you therefore which believe. Do you believe? He is precious to those who believe. The world knows nothing of him, but he is precious to those that believe. His world rejected him. His people denied him. The religious of the day despised him. But unto you, therefore, that believe, he is precious, all God's people said. He is precious unto you, therefore, which believe. What? What makes him so? What makes Christ so precious? Let me give you 8 things. Number 1.
He is precious because of his sacrifice, all God's people said. When you stood before the judge, and he read the accusation, no matter what you said, you were guilty. There was no other plea but guilty. When the evidence was brought in, you were guilty. Prosecution had not much argument to make. You were guilty. The judge held up the book of the law and said, "You are guilty." In his hand was a gavel, and he was ready to bring it down and strike the desk and say, "Guilty." And seconds before that gavel struck, someone in the room stood and said, "I will take their punishment. You can charge me with that guilt." "What's your name, sir?" "My name's Jesus. And I'll take their guilt. And I'll take their punishment. And I'll pay their debt. I'll give my life a sacrifice for many." And he did that. He did that. And because of that sacrifice, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. His sacrifice was precious. Number two, his grace is precious, all God's people said. Unmerited favor. That's a little hard to grasp, isn't it? We live in a world where everything has to be won by merit. Your position at work moves to a new height because of your work ethic, because of your merit. You get a raise in salary often because of your merit. We work on a merit system. That's why the world has such a hard time understanding the sacrifice of Christ and grace. They ask, "What do I have to do? What can I do?" Nothing. It's by grace, through faith, plus nothing. It's unmerited. There's nothing you could do to merit it. Christ paid the price. That's grace. He's precious because of his grace. He's precious because of his mercy, all God's people said. Know what mercy is? Mercy is, here's simple. Mercy is God withholding from you what you deserve. That's it. Go buy yourself a theology book. Look up the subject of mercy and read its 110 pages about mercy. And in the totality of those 110 pages, you'll come up with this idea. Mercy is God withholding from you what you deserve. You deserve hell. You deserve punishment. You deserve to pay for your sin. But God withheld it and judged sin in his Son. His forgiveness is precious, all God's people. Are you glad you're forgiven today? Sometimes I wake up, have to pinch myself. Just in one day we foul up. Amen? We mess up. We do wrong. You take that to Christ. And His forgiveness bathes you and covers you and hides you in Him. His justification is precious, all God's people said. Amen. Songwriter wrote, I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. My sins that were many are all in the past. They'll never condemn me, for He holds me fast. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. Justification is you being robed in the righteousness of Christ. So when God looks at you, He does not see that sinful person. He sees the righteousness of Christ that He's robed you in and hide you in the righteousness of Christ. Just as if you have never sinned. He forgets our sin. He remembers them no more, all God's people said. His sanctification is precious. Sanctification moves in three directions. Number one, there's positional sanctification. That is, when you got saved, God set you apart. Amen? Made you one of His children. Put you in His family. That's positional sanctification. That's what He did. In your life, you're progressing, or progressive sanctification. You're being made more like Christ. That's what God is doing. And someday that you'll be perfectly sanctified. That's in heaven. When Christ comes back without sin unto salvation, what He will yet do, what He did, what He's doing, what He will yet do, sanctification. His eternal life is precious, all God's people said. Our heavenly home is precious. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? That's going to be unbelievable. We're one step from heaven. You know that? When I was in the hospital about 3 months ago, I had a terrible heart attack. You all know. I was about an eighth of a step away. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Home. Jesus said to those disciples in the 14th chapter of John, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I've been doing that for 2,000 plus years, all God's people said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Eight things. Then thirdly, just one last thing I think that we can make an observation about. How is this done? How do we show or declare his preciousness? Let me just give you a few ways and we'll be done. Number one, we declare his preciousness by choosing him for our own, all God's people said. Spirit of God convicts your heart. God brings you to a place of your need of Christ. You come to him, and he alone saves you, all God's people said. And he becomes your own. Best friend in the world, best confidant you could have. How do we show his preciousness? How do we show he is precious? By choosing him. Number two, by worshiping him daily. Daily. Worship isn't just us coming to church and singing songs. Worship is a daily response to a heart that is filled with love for Christ. It's an outpouring of joy and happiness in the person of Christ. When Psalmist said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together every day." Number three, by studying his word, learning of him. We're to study, we're to learn, and learn as much as we can about him. If you have to blow the dust off your Bible every day before you come to church, you're in trouble. We should be studying his word every day. Here's a fourth thing, by desiring his presence, communion with God. Do you pray? Do you pray? Do you commune with God? Prayer isn't just a one-way ticket, just isn't a one-way conversation. You talk to God, it's a two-way conversation. You talk to God, he talks to you. It's real communication. Number five, by yielding to him. Do you yield your daily life to him? Paul said, "I die daily." Remember years ago when I was in college, man, to have a memory that far long, well, that's a long time ago. I was in college, and one of my professors said to me, do you love Jesus? I said, "Sure." He said, "Did you yield to him today?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Let me give you something." He said, "Every day I wake up, I say this. Every day." He said, "I get on my knees beside my bed." This man was 60 years old. And he said, "I say this, dear Lord Jesus. These are not my eyes, they're your eyes. May I look only on what you want me to look at. This is not my mouth, this is your mouth. May I say only the things you want me to say. These are not my ears, they're your ears. May I hear what you want me to hear. This is not my mouth, it's your mouth. May I speak the things you want me to speak. These are not my hands, these are not my feet. May I go where you want me to go." Every day, by yielding to him. Number six, by loving him. And then number seven, by being like him, all God's people said. Years ago, a pastor was in a store shopping for some groceries. His wife was out of town, so he was given that responsibility. You know about you, but as a man, when I go to a store and shop, my wife doesn't give me a list, she's in trouble. Because I buy what looks good. Amen? I didn't say what was good, I said what looks good. So he was buying his thing and he was in line. There was a lady in front of him, an elderly woman. And she had a few groceries and a thing of three bananas, a few other things. And she was putting each thing there on the table in front of the cashier, and the cashier was ringing it up. She told her a price. The lady fumbled through her little purse and said, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money. Could you take off the bananas? Lady was a little indignant, the cashier. She huffed a little and took off the bananas and kind of threw the groceries in a small sack and handed it to this lady. And she walked away. The pastor was behind her and he paid for his things and he says, I'll take those bananas. She said, what? He said, I'll take the bananas. Put them in a separate sack. And he walked out the door and he saw that old lady walking toward home. He ran forward and caught her and said, ma'am, ma'am, ma'am. She said, yes. He said, you forgot your bananas. She said, what's that? He said, you forgot your bananas. She said, oh, you got my bananas. He said, that's right. And she started to walk away and she turned around with tears in her eyes and said to him, you remind me of Jesus. You remind me of Jesus. Are you like him? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He is precious. Lord, help us to see you that way. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.